What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Central Virginia Sport Performance Podcast. I'm your host, Jay DeMayo, and this week I am elated to be able to catch up with my good buddy, Dr. Brian Mann. Doc, how we doing, man?
Jay, how you doing? It's been a long time, dude. At one point in time, I used to joke around and say I was the co-host for this thing. It's been a minute, though.
Yeah, I've walked away, gave it a little bit of a break, try to bring it back every now and then, keep throwing some good content out there, hopefully that people enjoy still, but more importantly, to use it as a way to help communicate to people with the event and what we're building for this year, July 21, 22, down there in Atlanta at Play Headquarters. And I'm super fired up to have you back on the docket, brother.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to be there. And only a week before my, well, shit, what would this be? 43rd, 44th, 44th birthday.
So we'll be on the same level there for a little bit, and then you're going to take one step up ahead of me. But yeah, man, it'll be great. It's really excited for the opportunity that Rich and everybody down there is provided. Their support's always been huge, but let's get to the event here in a little bit. Let's catch up. What's new in the world of B Man, brother? Like what have we been missing out on here the last little bit?
Well, I guess, I don't remember if we've been on here since I came down to Miami, but everybody always associates me with Mizzou. And now it's Miami here for my fifth year. I've been rolling through everything. I moved up to associate professor for in the a academically. And then I added on to the role that I'd been doing as a volunteer. Now I'm director of sports sciences for Olympic sports. Had a heck of a semester trying to balance everything there because I was program director for exercise physiology, but I can't direct two programs. It was like Vasily Alexeyev, I cannot serve two masters. I'll either be a shitty coach and a great lifter or a great lifter and a shitty coach. No, great coach and a shitty lifter. One of the whatever it was. But so I stepped back from that and yeah, I had the semester from hell, as we joke around, teaching seven classes and doing all this stuff. But man, it's been fun, honestly, and getting through that challenge and seeing some of the things that we can do, applying science to sport here. So I want to do some real true sports science, not just sports tech. So that's something I think is, going to make us a little bit unique down here. And just having a good old time trying to help out where I can and get things going and get it going in the way that that's going to be the most impactful with the least touches on the athlete. That's my goal.
That's vital. The most impact you could provide with the least touches on the athlete. That's something that Boo and I talked about a little bit last week when we were getting into the idea of like what our metrics are and what we're looking at, and coming up, it and him coming up kind of before what I guess we could call the technological wave,
Yeah.
coaching, and that's impact. But what I kind of want to bounce around here first with though, bro, is the head of Olympic sports science. That's cool.
Yeah, man. That's Tommy Otley is doing a lot with men's and women's basketball, which was crucial for me because there was no way in heck with doing seven classes I could make it over there in the fall. He's a physical therapist, came from Duke, and their sports science and sports physical therapy residency program up there. Brilliant guy, a great person. He's another Midwesterner. He's got that 314 area code, which I don't know if you remember where that was from your time in Terre Haute. Wasn't too terribly far away. And he's doing a great job, and it's great support from there. And then on the football side, having Eric Renahan as a resource is amazing. We're in a great opportunity down here. We're in a great spot that I think that we're going to have some great things pop off, man. I really believe that.
That's awesome. And I think, what'll be really neat is if, the times can work out and the ability to collaborate with, you and E, like that'd be great. I mean,
Yeah.
the guy's resume, I mean, it's to say the
It's
least,
unparalleled, man. I
yeah,
mean, he's got a freaking Stanley Cup.
he won a Stanley Cup. Like, people can say whatever they want about anything, but there's the second most famous trophy in all sports. And he got the opportunity to pick it up over his head. I mean, That's awesome. And
That, yeah.
been fortunate to have him on a show or two, like a super guy,
Yeah, great
super
person.
open to sharing. So I think that like what you guys could do down there could be really, I mean, obviously impactful to the young men and women that y'all get to work with, but even more so, like, because you're not a guy that's afraid to share and put out what's being done, like could be impactful for all of us.
Yeah, no, man. That would definitely be. Yeah, I'm thinking some of the stuff that I've even just been able to sift through my Mizzou data, and hit some of the findings there. Sifting through that 15 years of repeated measured data, being able to look at it in a different way than I was as a strength coach. Now that I've got a little bit more wear on the tires of the researcher, I'm looking at it differently, and that's allowing me to see some of the areas where I kind of might have screwed up a little bit in the past, but yeah, and overlooked or underestimated or overestimated in some aspects that that you can, some of the different things that we do, and why did things work? Why didn't they work? And being able to look back at that over a course of about 600 athletes with repeated measures, yeah, man, that's I could honestly, Jay, I'll say this. I could have a tremendous research career and never collect another piece of data, and still have phenomenal, cutting edge research coming out for the next 20 years.
Well, that's going to be fun to keep up with.
Yeah. I just need to find the time to write, man. That's it. Because the writing, scientific writing, is a skill, and it is completely separate from and irrelevant often to what we do in sport. Many times. So, what's super important there isn't what's super important for sport. So it's being able to find the time to balance both. And that's the big struggle right now.
Right. And when we're talking about balance through our careers, I think that, you and I both have been unfortunately pigeonholed and not really allowed to have kind of balance with how we see things. We may air quotes in the public eye, right? Like I'm the Omega Wave 1x20 guy.
I'm
And
VBT. That's the only thing I know, man. I've
yeah.
seen that, and I've seen that written on my reviews. Like whenever I gave the ACL talk, one of the reviews that I got back was, "Brian Mann doesn't know anything about ACLs. All he knows is about his velocity." I'm like, really?
Yeah, well,
Okay.
but there's different parts of this whole VBT area that we're going to get into in Atlanta.
Yeah, baby.
So let's run down that rabbit hole real quick here.
Yeah. Well, what we're going to be talking about down there is, I call it demystifying force elastic profiling and getting to it essentially like from a practitioner standpoint. So by demystifying it, I've got a couple of ways that I've done it that, gosh, how do I say this? It doesn't take a whole lot of extra time. It doesn't take an extra day of testing. And it's that minimal touch, but maximal effect to basically take a heavy day whenever you're going to go up to heavy doubles or singles or triples, even, and adding 2 to 3 sets beforehand and being able to use that to complete a complete force velocity profile. Now, beyond that, what I think is actually the most impactful is the analysis aspect of it. And being able to, what do I do? Where do I go from here? Is it that I just need to use some a little bit of zone work? Is it that I need some completely different exercises? And optimal for who and optimal for what? And I think that that is that those questions right there are where I kind of went wrong a little bit with VBT back in the day, because I was just looking at means. I wasn't looking at individual things, because let's face it, whenever you get down to it, there would be nothing for me to be on the floor by myself at SMS, back in the Mo Valley, with 100, 120, 130 athletes on the floor at the same time, in our little 8,500 square foot weight room that we had. Well, I'm not going to be looking at 125 individuals. I'm looking at everything as a group. Well, if we break things down into the groups a little bit more intensely. And God, I wish I had the original data files that were on those freaking zip drives back in the day. Those got lost in a flood. But that, if I could have gone back and look at it a little bit differently now, that it might be, it might be Things might be a little bit different, but really it's getting to the, you know, what's important for who, because I think that really matters. You know, if we try and train a offensive lineman the same that we would be training a 100-meter sprinter, which is the same as you would train a wide receiver, you know, that we would have outcomes that would be unfavorable. You know, that they might have a really good high-end speed, but it takes them forever to get there. Well, what's the demands of the position? First step, explode. So that, you know, the optimal to what? And I think that, you know, once we go through the basic force velocity profile, and then we start getting into some of the analysis aspects of it, that's where I think that that's where the gold lies, I think, to see, you know, going more in depth with it and not just at what velocity did it occur? Well, what's the relative percentage? What's the relative velocity? What is the percentages of peak power? How did peak power move? I think that these things are crucial and critical, but as coaches, we overlook them because we were never told that it was important. And, you know, I think that is something that I could add to this space. Not to discredit anything anybody else has done. I think it's been amazing what people have done with the force velocity profiling, both horizontally and vertically. But, you know, there are some issues with it that I'll leave for some other people to talk about. But I think that getting to the optimal to what is where people could really walk away from mine, you know, with something.
A few things about this I think are really exciting. One is it really runs in tandem well with the chapter you did with, I think it was volume 6.
I don't remember what I ate for breakfast, so I couldn't tell you which volume it was. It wasn't the first two.
Yeah, no, but for volume 6, we talked about digging deeper with, you know, the data that we already collect.
Yeah.
And being more efficient with what we're looking at and finding better ways to not just understand what we're looking at, but understand why it matters. And
yeah,
being able to take something that literally could be part of your training and then builds in to a way that you can individualize and evaluate good, bad, and different of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Seems like it ticks a lot of boxes for me.
Oh man, I think it does. You know, it's a great way to get it all done and all at once too. It's I'm not going to say it's perfect. Nothing is ever perfect, you know, and somebody will be able to shoot holes through it. I absolutely know that. People can shoot holes through anything. I swear to God, if I held up a piece of, you know, if I came out driving a tank, people would find ways to, you know, shoot holes in that. But, you know, so I know it's not perfect, but it's better than what we've got now.
You know? I mean, that's what's important, right? Is being able to adapt, evolve, and continue to grow and find better ways to do what we've been trying to do. I mean, isn't that what we always talk about, what we're supposed to be doing?
Yeah, well, that's what we're always talking about at the barbecue drinking bourbon. But, you know, that's not always what everybody's always trying to do. Some people are trying to create too much flash on social media just to get the likes and follows. And, like, I got to figure out how to use Instagram again because I don't know how to do it that well, and I need to get on social media again.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that starting to date ourselves and talk about social media and figuring out phones and all of that is a good lead-in, because hopefully this joke isn't too far over people's heads. And since we've had a few of these shows and asked these questions, they've at least taken the time to understand the actual cinematic genius that Back to the Future is. But let's get to the big three here, Doc. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Yeah, man. So, like, let's pretend, you know, me, Doc Brown, and Marty McFly show up down there in South Florida with the DeLorean at your door. We're going to give you one trip back in time to teach yourself one lesson. What's that going to be and why, Doc?
Man, it's probably going to be pay better attention in math and physics. Because, you know, as strength and conditioning coaches, as a student, you know, and as a coach, you're often thinking, oh, I don't ever need this stuff. Well, this is stupid. I should not. Man, dude, I use that on the daily. And, you know, this whole thing about momentum, and it being a big deal, it was because it took me 15 years to, God, longer than that. So 2017, was 1998 to 2017, was that 19 years to figure out that, hey, dude, if I've got mass and I've got velocity, I've got momentum, and that can account for changes in body weight, right? That we weren't ever able to account for before. And if I would have just been paying more attention in math and physics, I would have had that down. I think that some of the what we need to do is, if I could go back and teach myself one lesson, if it wasn't just simply, math and physics, pay more attention in those, it would be to adopt a white belt mentality. I've gotten back into martial arts in the past, oh gosh, I guess it was about May, whenever I started getting back into it with my daughter. And just being able to approach everything with that white belt mentality, that everything is new, everything is fresh, and you are a learner all the time. If you approach it with that white belt mentality, you aren't going to be looking at what was, I mean, yeah, you should always look at what was already done, but you're not going to be blind to think that that was the only way to do things. And I think that that is what I would need to go back and teach myself. Is either to pay better attention in those classes, or it is to for the white belt mentality. Now, the classes I mentioned, the white belt, I think hopefully I made it clear why. It's that I know that I personally have a tendency that if I think I already know the answer, that I skip, that I just jump 4 steps ahead to, whatever it needs to be, because I've got horrible ADHD. So my mind's jumping all the over the place anyways. Or it could be a squirrel going by and I'd have no idea what was going on right now. But use that white belt mentality or do better in math and physics, man. That's got to be it. And Doc Brown would be a great person to show me that.
Yeah, well, especially the math and physics, as long as you get to, what was it, 8.1 gigawatts or whatever it was. But
That's 77 miles an hour.
85 miles an hour.
85 miles. I thought that was the year that it came out.
Yeah, well, it might be. It's,
Damn.
now we're really dating ourselves here. But no, I think that, especially when we're talking about, well, first of all, that's rad that you're getting back into martial arts with your daughter. I'm sure that that's an absolute
Oh,
blast.
she's loving it. Yeah.
But even more so, that whole idea of a white belt mentality, I think, is something that many people, I mean, not just strength coaches or practitioners in the performance world talk about. I think people in sport in general talk about, but don't necessarily truly do. I think that that's one of those, like, kind of like sexy, cool things to say, like
Yeah.
always learning, always, driven to grow, always trying to be curious and to take the next step. But in reality, I think, listen, I've been pointing the thumb right now. Like, I've been guilty of this many times where you get stuck in your ways and you kind of think you have more of the answers than you do. And that's why our conversations and what you're doing is so important, because, not just like the checking me part, but like the work that you're doing to find the reasons and the answers to these questions is vital for all of us to continue to evolve.
Yeah, we got to do it, and if we don't share the information. I've said this 100 times before, if it becomes the year 2040 and everybody's still just doing the zones and I screwed everybody over, man, we've got to be able to go push forward and do things the right way by applying the scientific method to sport, not just, and that's more than just a GPS. It's more than just an Omega wave. Right. It's, trying to find out the relationships, the causative factors, the underpinnings of performance, and what influences that transfer of training. If it's through the transfer index, or which, I'm not as high on as I used to be, or, through regression analysis or what. But I think, man, we just got to apply some more science towards sport and not think that technology is science, because it's not.
No, but I think that the one thing that I would argue with most people on that about is, technology isn't science, 100%. But I don't know what else we would call it.
Oh no, I'm with you. I call it sports tech and sports science. That's me, in the way that my brain is that, just looking at a GPS report and seeing how far everybody went, that's tech. Looking at the changes in the speed and what caused those changes in speed, what are the multifactorial relationships, the changes in multiple variables that led to changes in injury? You know, that's the science side of it versus the tech side of it. And you know, that could just be me overanalyzing things, as I so often do. You know, shoot, if I would just get out of my own way sometimes, I think I'd have answers about 10 years faster.
Maybe, but I don't think that what you're saying is incorrect. I think that what you're saying makes a lot of sense, and that's important. But I think that also that comes back to the fact that, like, you're willing to dig in and to try to find the answers and try to figure out what's going on because you're not afraid to ask deeper questions. And that really dives us into number two, Doc. And, you know, all of us have kind of had this idea that we have all the answers at one point or another, right? But I really think,
God knows I did.
Yeah, I really think that we don't know the questions yet. Like, I think that we need to find better questions. So in your opinion, what is one question you feel we're missing to ask? And why do you think that's important and the impact it could have on us as a profession?
I think it's simply asking why more often is going to be the you know, important question that nobody else is asking. You know, I think that people see these videos, they see, you know, presentations, they maybe even read studies. But then the why did this happen? Why did you do that? Hey, it's on social media. You loaded these guys up with 200% of their body weight on the sled pole and you walked with them. Why? Some people are going to not ask why. They're going to jump on and say, that's stupid because of this. That's genius because of this. Well, maybe they didn't stop to realize that that person didn't have a squat rack and maybe their person had some back issues, so they couldn't do a you know, trap bar deadlift or anything. And walking with a sled was the best thing that they could do at that point in time because they didn't want to alter running form. You know, that's just one example. But there's, you know, you know, you're throwing more pound weight on the bar. You're trying to get somebody to squat 1,000 pounds. Why? Why? You know, just let's ask these answers. Because stronger isn't always better. You know, that it's strength alone seems to cease improvements in speed and power, you know, unless you're doing velocity too. You know what I mean? So if we're sitting in a just like a traditional style of workout and, you know, you're doing only strength, and who does that? Nobody, right? But if we're looking at only strength, we're not doing anything with velocity emphasis, we lose that, you know, transfer over at about, you know, I've heard Matt Ray say 1.7, and I see a decline at about 1.7, but 2.2 is really where just visual inspection, it's like, I don't have a statistic for it. I'm working on that right now. I'm trying to figure out how to analyze it. It's like I've got to have a receiver operating characteristic curve with a covariate. And if somebody knows how to do that, please call me and tell me. And if that might not be the right stat, I need to call Patrick Ward. That's what I need to do.
I mean, that's probably where I would start. Whenever you say terms about things statistically that I don't even know what they are, I would either call Patrick or reach out to Tomy because he may have somebody or he may be the guy to do that with too. But
yeah, shoot, I didn't even think about Tomy. I forgot that he's going through the PhD program. I didn't know he's become a stat savant like Patrick.
If there's anyone that can figure out things that I don't know the answer to, it's usually going to be Matt is going to be one of the first, if not the first person I call.
I got to get back on doing that too. So yeah, I have, for whatever reason, I dropped off thinking him, but you know, it goes back to the whys, man. You know, we've got to ask why. I just recently, I don't remember who said this. And I really wish I could, but it said something to the effect of, I am far better off having questions that can't be answered than answers that can't be questioned. So I really think that if we would get down to the whys, we would gain greater understanding. We would gain better perspective. We would gain that so much more context by asking why rather than simply looking at what. You know, strength causes huge improvements in speed and power. Well, why? Oh, well, these people happen to be freshmen that had never lifted weights before. So, of course, enhancing the general physical preparedness is going to improve specific physical preparedness for a while. We know that. We've always known it. But it stops. And that's why you have to go to more specific exercises. We've known this since, my God, I believe I read a book about, read this out of a book in the 1800s talking about that you have to go to more specific exercises. I mean, dude, we've known this for like 200 years. What's the freaking deal that we're trying to push, keep pushing the strength? And maybe it's from people like myself who come from a powerlifting back or weightlifting background, that we think that that's the best thing in the world to do. But I think that if we asked why on everything, we would gain the context and then we would be able to apply things more appropriately.
Couldn't agree more. And I think that if we're continuing down that rabbit hole of like you see something on social media and you think this is great because of whatever reason, I think the thing that impacts that probably the most, whether you think it's great or bad, is who, right? Just your personal bias as to whether you think the individual who posted it, like I could post something, you could post something, Hank could post something, and we said his name. Matt Tomey could post something, and we would all get completely different responses because of who we are, not because of what we posted, not because of what it is, not because of the content or the exercise or what we're doing. But yeah, a sled drag. He'd be like, well, you're the 1x20 guy, or you're the VBT guy, or Matt's just a PhD candidate, or Hank, all you do is coach sprinters. It's like there'll be some sort of curmudgeon-y way to come back at it instead of sitting there and asking the real question. And there are times, though, I would just warn that maybe why isn't the best. I think that I've questioned Doc enough to know that usually what he says is the right answer. And if I say, well, what about this or why that, he's going to tell me more, less in ways that I don't necessarily love to hear.
Well, yeah, but but at the same time, you can ask him the question, why does this work? And he'll tell you. And
Well,
you
yeah,
could ask,
100%.
well, what about this? Yeah, but it may be why is not the appropriate term, and I'll give you that. But there are some of those people that Doc is one of them. Eric Serrano is another. That if they tell me what in a simple why, I'll use those terms and I'll figure out all of the reasons why later. Just because, I swear that these guys and the Bill Kramers and that God himself lifted the skull cap off and put the information into their brain. So when it's somebody like that, oh, of course I'm going to give that more. I'm not going to have to pester them. But let's say it's another coach. Why did you do that? I'm not, and I'm also not saying that I think Kramer, yes, is Serrano or infallible. No, I think that they will be because everybody is going to be have blinders based off of their perspective, based off of what they have experienced. Now, what the chances of yeses having experienced something more than I have, obviously, he's up in his mid-80s, I think now. Of course, he's going to have different perspectives. But I think that we still have to, understand why. Maybe it's not ask why. Maybe it is that you need to understand why, right? And that kind of comes back to Stephen Covey. Seek first to understand and then be understood, which is a old classic book. Shit, actually, that can I change my answer to number two? That seek first to understand, seek first to understand and then be understood. And I think that that would be the impact that we have. Just going back to the social media stuff that you mentioned about all of us, man. Yeah, you're absolutely right. If we would seek first to understand and then seek to be understood, we wouldn't, but then again, some people lose their social media followings because their whole social media following is based off of being a curmudgeon. So, what are you going to do?
Just gonna keep on keeping on, man. That's all we can
Yeah,
do.
got to. I got to learn how to use this mute function on social media that I hear about on like Instagram. So that way, maybe I won't get off because it's the same people pissing me off all the time.
Ha! Yeah, I hear that, brother.
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, when we're talking about these things and evolution and growing and getting involved in other ways and finding better questions, I mean, really what it comes down to is being pliable and making change. So let's get to number three, my friend, and that is, what's a major change you have made in your career that has improved both your life at and away from work? And what brought you to that crossroads?
Man, you know what? It is, this is something that's been pretty recent for me. I would say it's back in about October that, you know, I just got to learn to let go, right? In multiple areas. You know, if I can just learn to let go, then that helps out a tremendous amount. And what do I mean by that? Well, I think that some of the reasons why I've been successful is because I, how do I say, I'm trying to think of a way to put this that just doesn't sound, you know, horrible, but, you know, I just will force things to happen. Right. I will just go in there and with brute strength and awkwardness, make the things happen. Well, you can't always do that. So if something that I'm doing, it's not that I'm in direct control of it. I've got to just let go. And now I wouldn't say walk away, but I've got to just let go of, you know, whatever the outcome is going to be. And I came to that crossroads because this past semester, you know, you can't teach, you know, dude, I'm doing three class, four classes is considered a insane load for any professor that's doing any sort of research. And unfortunately, I am. Whenever you do seven, well, that's basically two full-time jobs. And then you add on a the director of sports science. Well, that's a third job. A husband, I guess that's a fourth job. A father of two small kids, it's like a fifth job. I couldn't, you know, my hair started falling out. Literally, unfortunately, I've got Custer the Last Stand going on up there. And for me, whenever I could step away and give up and relinquish the control on some of these aspects, it allowed me to have more calmness and clarity because I wasn't being so, gosh, how do I say this? So clouded by only seeing what was right in front of me and what we're trying to accomplish, but being able to step back and whenever I can do that, I can see the answer more clearly. And it's made a huge improvement, definitely in my home life with my kids, because I'm not as quick. I'm not saying I don't, but I'm not quite as quick to snap. And whenever, you know, I've still got the, you know, projection and gravelness that can go into my voice in a heartbeat that, you know, that coaching 330-pound defensive linemen in the weight room, you know, being able to control them with just the voice and imagine how that goes whenever that coaching voice booms out on a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old. Not a good thing, right? They get scared and, you know, scream and cry and all that, which, you know, I was going to make a joke about, and that was just me, but I'm like, no, I didn't set that one up well enough. But no, but being, so it's made a huge improvement in my home life because then I'm not as stressed out and I'm not as angry. It's made an improvement in my work life in the fact that I can see other people's, you know, what they're wanting to do, why they're wanting to do it. And I guess that kind of goes back to number two, seek first to understand, then be understood. You know, that's really what's done the most for me is that, you know, I learned that important lesson of being able to, if you let go and let things happen and enjoy the ride, well, more good things are going to happen rather than, you know, being, trying to force everything in, you know, these square pegs and around holes. You know, I guess kind of like my grandmother used to say, you catch more flies with honey than you do vinegar, but who in the hell really wants to catch flies anyways? I never really understood that one.
I'm with you. And I think, though, that that is a great lesson, one that many of us are still trying to accomplish because that's not easy.
God, it's not. I struggle with it. You know, more than a daily, I would say nearly an hourly basis that, you know, I find myself like, dude, just let go. Let go. Especially in Miami traffic, man. Just gotta let go.
I bet. I can't even imagine that. My short little drive here in the RVA, and I get in the tizzy sometimes. I can't imagine what it's like out there.
Yeah, fortunately, I've still got a short commute, but if we're driving anywhere, you know, if I'm going with the kids anywhere, it's like, oh my God. Yeah, the traffic down here, there's some memes that, you know, they've got Palm Beach County and everybody's driving around. It's like driving Miss Daisy, and then it's looking like a little bit more normal, but a little bit more agitated person in Broward County, and they come down to Dade County and everybody's driving these Mad Max vehicles and hanging their head out the window with guns and stuff. And actually that does happen. There's a, I don't know if you saw on, it was on, Good Morning America or something, that somebody was driving down 826, which is the highway right next to my house, in a Lamborghini shooting handguns out the window. And fortunately they posted it on social media, so their dumbasses got caught. That's just a whole other line of stupid. You know, I don't get this. Hey, let's put this on social media. I'm going to be doing the stuff that's highly illegal. That, and now here's the proof of it for me to be arrested and go to jail for a long time. But yeah, dude. Yeah, if we ever host a conference down here and I can get you down here, we're not driving anywhere. We're going to just stay inside whatever hotel we're at.
Doc, as always, man. Grateful for your time. Grateful for all you're doing. Grateful for your friendship, and super stoked to have you up in Atlanta this July for this year's seminar. This is going to be an absolute blast, brother. I can't wait till it gets here.
Man, and did you say Boo's gonna be here?
Yeah, man. Boo,
Oh,
Benetti, it's gonna be great. And, you know, a couple
man.
more to be. I'm gonna speak. So hopefully everybody doesn't walk out after that and they get to see everyone else. But yeah, you know, a couple more we're gonna announce here in the near future. Really excited for it.
Ooh, baby, I'm excited already.
Yeah, boy. Well, man, stoked for you to be a part of it. Can't wait to catch up. And again, to all you that are listening and all your support, we're truly grateful for everything you do for us here at Central Virginia Sport Performance. We'll be back next week with another awesome presenter. We'll see you then.